Thanks for listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Good morning, church. Y'all excited to be here? Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Are you excited to be here? Yeah? Hey, welcome to the first part of our series called Team Church. My name is Joe Bevilacqua. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet together, go ahead and take out something you want to take notes with today. And if you have a Bible, you can open with me to John's Gospel, chapter 13. I am excited about today's message. I'm excited about what God has. But before we actually read and talk about what God has for us, would you take out your smartphone? If you have an iPhone or a lesser phone, you can go ahead and take that out right now. If you have an iPhone or your Star Wars droid, I don't know what that is, Android? Does it have a crank on it? I don't know. But go ahead and take that out. And if you want to, I'm going to give you permission in church to go to Facebook really quick. And here's what I want you to do. Everybody's looking at me like I'm like, really? Really, really. I want you to pull it out. I can see you, by the way, so don't act like you're faking, okay? Go to Facebook and go to New Chapel's Facebook real quick. And I want you to share the live stream from this service. You know, that is something so small that we can do that actually has an influence on all of our friends and family. And I have met more people in the last several weeks that found us online, everybody. And they were looking for a positive, encouraging message in the middle of Crazyville when the world has officially gone bonkers and lost its mind. And so that simple feed will help make an influence. So make sure that you do that and then turn it off in Jesus' name, unless you're taking notes on it, of course. I am excited about today's message because really the message today is going to deal with the deepest needs that we have in our lives. And God wants to meet those needs. Can we just take a poll for a second? Raise your hand if you have any needs in your life. Raise your hand. I'm assuming if you don't have your hand up, you don't have an arm. Because we all have needs that we're asking God for, that we'd like to be fulfilled in our life. And I think that we busy our lives with trying to meet those needs. And what I've seen from years of pastoring now is that most people are not really even meeting their true needs. They're meeting like residual needs caused by deeper needs. The best way to explain this is when I first accepted Christ or rededicated when I was 17, there was this very awesome patient lady at the church named Cheryl. And Cheryl really took me under her wing and counseled me. And I was a kid that was full of potential. I was a vibrant person, but I was also full of anger and insecurity. And she really took me under her wing and she was talking to me about these things. One of the things that she showed me is that some of the things that you're really enamored with, Joe, they're fruits of problems. In other words, the insecurity and the anger that's showing up in these different areas or problems that you're having with relationships in this area, it's actually part of a tree, and the tree is the problem, but there's something behind the scenes, under the surface, that has deep roots in your past. And ultimately, there was an acorn, as they would say in the South, a seed that planted that massive tree that produced this thing. And so what happens is, Joe, you're in a cycle of picking fruit and trying to manage your sinful behavior or manage your insecurities or manage the way that you'd like to be. But the reality is it's going to produce more fruit in a different season. And the wild thing about your soul is it doesn't just come up every year in an annual. Sometimes it's like harvest time and it's producing enough apples for a whole orchard. And other times it's completely dormant. The heart is a deceitful thing above all things. And so Cheryl showed me that there was fruit and there's root. There's fruit, but there's a seed that's behind all of these different things. Does that make sense? And so some of the needs that we try to meet in our lives are actually just us picking fruit. And if we could solve the deeper need, if we could really get to the bottom of things, we'd be resolved and we wouldn't have these peripheral things that are nagging at us. Does that make sense? Okay, so I heard a cool story, and this is from a long time ago, back when they had sanitariums and some of the scary mental hospitals that make for great movies, but like I couldn't imagine sending a loved one there. And they had this test to get the person who's a patient released from the sanitarium. Here's what the test looked like. They put the person in a room, and there was water on the floor, and there was a mop and a mop bucket, and they would just see what they would do. And the patient would go in, and some of them, you know, trying to prove that they were well enough to go home, and I'm normal, they'd mop it up and take responsibility, you know. They'd mop it up, and they'd put the mop bucket back and try to be nice and clean. But that was not the person who was released. Do you know the person who was released? the person who walked into the room and turned the spigot off on the hose and then mopped. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's something that's causing the issue. If you don't solve the thing that's causing the issue, you're just going to be mopping the floor for a long time, Bubba. Like, you got to figure out what the root cause behind these things are. And some of us feel just absolutely crazy sometimes trying to solve these needs in our life. And we haven't tapped into the source. Now, my belief is this, is that Jesus can unlock all of those things in our life. He wants to get us to the spot of accepting Christ, right, like getting born again. But God doesn't want to just leave you there. He wants you to develop and mature in this life and tap into his source. And I think he's a good guy to do it. Everybody like 10 out of 10 on Jesus, right? Like, had it together, sinless life, perfect on this earth. What he has is a way for us to live this out, and he lived it out in his natural life before all of us. Now, had you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 13, let me give you some backstory, and then we'll read together. The backstory is this. In the Middle East, there is a huge custom, even to this day, in many different city and city-states, where when you would come into the house, if they had servants, the servants would wash your feet. Now, I go absolutely buck wild with three boys trying to keep my floor clean in my own house. I can't imagine living in Timbuktu in the Middle East with sand everywhere, okay? So they would wash your feet as soon as you can. What, y'all don't think that'd be crazy? That's crazy. And so they'd wash your feet to be like, don't mess up the furniture, you know? And so Jesus knew this custom. It was typically for servants to do. Sometimes the woman of the house would do it. But that was really the custom. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Look at what your Jesus does. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God, and he would return from God. Pause. Y'all look at me for a second. Why in the world start out this passage with that? Let me tell you why. A secure person in God has nothing to prove. You know, back on the playground when I was a kid, there'd be one little pipsqueak and he'd be mouthing off, I'm going to beat you up and stuff like that. You know, I never really worried about the pipsqueak that was mouthing off. You worry about the quiet guy. You worry about the guy that can clean your clock, doesn't really say anything, but you said too much. You know what I mean? So Jesus, in the same way, he's not getting ready to clean anybody's clock, but he's so secure in who he is, right? It's prefacing everything that he's going to do and saying, this guy's okay. He's good with God and he knows who he is with God. Continues on. So he got up from the table, and he took off his robe. This would have been a rabbinical robe. Jesus was a rabbi. This would have been every bit of sign of his status. It would have been like your doctor at the doctor's office taking off the white lab coat, right? Getting down onto everybody's level, a normal level. He took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around them. If you're a leader or a business owner in here, this will translate to everybody, but especially for those that are leaders, you know, God is not into titles. God is into towels. The title is incidental. Titles will actually follow what your function is. If you're doing the role already, in the words of the great prophet Beyonce, if you like it, put a ring on it, you know, like God will be like, oh yeah, you're clearly a pastor. Why? Because you're pastoring people. You're clearly this status because you're doing this type of thing. Does that make sense? And so Jesus, having nothing to prove, gets down a level. He's more interested in towels than titles. It continues on to verse 15. He says, I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Verse 17. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So with that being said, what I'd like to do is take my shoes off, and I'm going to have a nice line. Everybody's going to come up and wash my feet. Just kidding. And some people do that. I've seen that done in certain services or even at a wedding. That was a wild wedding I did. But all that to say, it's yes, the literal act of what he did, but it's also the symbolic act of what he did to serve other people. The Bible says in another part that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. The heart of the king was to serve other people. And it says at the end of that passage that you'll be blessed if you do those things. Now, if you don't like have a Bible degree or you're a big, deep theologian, you know, like most people in Western Michigan, blessed simply means happy. You're going to be happy if you do those things. God's blessing, his joy, his happiness will be on your life. And what God is doing, what Jesus is saying is literally the blessing, the happiness in your life is directly linked to your service, to you serving somebody else. You're not just going to be blessed from a Bible study. That's a wonderful thing. You're happy when you obey and do what God says, yeah? So in this way, in the same way, he's saying that if you do this, you're going to be really happy in your life. I like that Jesus did that. Yeah? He went down and he got into the dirt. You know, dirt in the United States, much less the rest of the world, is a multiple billion dollar industry. I mean, I'm telling you, Mr. Clean has enough money to get plugs if he really wants them. I mean, like, he's got money. Just because he's wearing a white shirt doesn't mean he ain't got no money, you know? I mean, back in the day, Steve Jobs wearing a black shirt. He still had money. Mr. Clean's rich, and it's because dirt, in a literal sense, is a billion-dollar industry. But people, all of us, have some dirt. We've got some patina on our lives, and especially before Christ. I mean, you remember what it was like. It was destitute. You're dirty before him. And there's even some people in the room that when you come into this setting and you're kind of new and you're looking around at everybody, there's something in your past, there's something on you, there's a root thing that just, you feel dirty. And I understand that. And I felt that way when I first came into settings like this. You don't need to feel that way, by the way, but I understand it if you do. And what is Jesus doing? He bends down, he cleans the dirt off of them. And I'm here to tell you that that's exactly what Jesus wants to do in the lives of people today. Yeah, like you're not coming in here and I'm not judging you. And in fact, the real people that are following Jesus at this church, they're certainly not judging you. They got their own dirt in their own life. They're sitting here getting washed by Jesus the same way that you are. We're all in this thing together. We might have been here a couple days before you, but look, join in on the journey because God is cleaning our lives. God's changing our lives, putting our feet on a rock, changing our marriages, our relationships, our jobs. He's changing our joy in our life, but it's found when we allow him in and let him wash us with the water of his word. Amen, somebody? So this happiness is linked to helping Jesus clean dirt off people. It's linked to serving people in so much that we're part of what God is doing in cleansing people and helping with their lives and getting down into the mud. We can take off all of our church face, our church clothes, and actually get down with somebody and have a relationship with somebody that's not perfect. Because here's the news, you're not perfect. Like, you're perfect spiritually, for sure. But your soul, the way that we live, you're not perfect, but at New Chapel, we are forgiven. Like, God forgives us. And so in that same way, we want to help people to wash the dirt in their life. And I got to tell you, that's where the true happiness is. That's where you're going to feel fulfilled in your life. Some of you here are a follower of Christ, and someone else served you, and that's why you're sitting in a chair today. Is because somebody invested in you. Rex and Cheryl invested in us, didn't they? Came with that church van and picked us up. Had that musky smell, and they had a little glass jar with candy in it. But old people candy, not good candy. It's old people candy. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know. They opened up Good and Plenty's and emptied it in there. I don't know. Hard candy, you know? Rex and Cheryl, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Somebody else bought the chair you're sitting in, paid to make this room nice and comfortable, and the AC cranked up. Glory to God, we cast the devil out of it last week. Somebody else paved the way for you to be here. Maybe it was another place, another time, decades ago. Maybe you're coming back after a season away from God, but somebody served you, and as a result of their service, you're here today by the grace of God. Amen, somebody? Like, that's what God wants to do, is he wants us to be people that can invite and welcome people into this, make relationship with people so that God can do his thing. You know, don't play the role of a Holy Spirit. It's so easy when somebody comes in, they got a skirt that's a little bit too short, and you're like, hoochie mama coming up in the church, you know? Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, why not, like, welcome them to the house of God, you know? And oh, man, they're of a certain orientation. Well, it's so easy to pick out someone else's sin that you can visibly see. Really hard to find some of yours because you don't vocalize all of that heavy judgment that you might have. Guys, we got to do inventory here. Take that telephone pole out of your eye before you go for the speck in theirs. And I'm not diminishing the fact that we need to be clean, but let Jesus do his thing. Why don't we love people? Why don't we invest in people? Why don't we let God make the change? There's a lot of people that are hoping to be happy. That's an aim that they have. And they see the serving thing and they say, okay, Pastor, I get it, but I'm too busy to serve. And I've heard a lot of people say that. And I'm going to tell you, with every single one of them, the time to serve never showed up. It never landed where everything was perfect. You know, from time to time, we'll call for a public fast at New Chapel, and we'll fast for a week or 21 days, you know, something wild like that. And people, you know, they'll take part in it, and they find that when they go back to work that following Monday, everybody's having a birthday, and everybody brought a cake and Krispy Kreme and a rack of lamb, and hey, we're all going to Butcher's Union for my birthday. It's like, what? What? Why are we? Why'd you get born now? Like, I love that place, you know? And there's never a good time to fast. There's never a good time. So you might just well fast when God tells you to fast. Well, in the same way, there's never a good time to begin serve. Life is always happening. And especially when if I was the enemy, I would somehow create a device that I could put in people's pockets that would distract them from everything that they're doing. That would make it so just, one second. You know, like just, right? You got time. And we're so distracted, and we busy our lives, and we got to get the kids to practice. Well, hey, everybody, school's over. So you don't have a practice to go to. You might just as well say, you know what, now's as good a time as any to begin to sink into this thing and invest in other people that are far from God. Well, I'm not a church person. Look, if you knew some of the crazy lives that the Go Team lives, I have you on Facebook as a friend, everybody. Like, that's not the qualifier. Qualifier is that you love God and you love people. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for somebody with a heart for God. Wants to serve somebody. Say amen. Happiness is never outside in. It's always inside out. When you're resolved on the inside, I'm telling you, it can be a gloomy day, but everything's great for you. You just be dancing through life when you're resolved on the inside. When Kai and I got married, whoo, Jesus, I tell you what, I could float. I wasn't walking. I was just gliding everywhere I went. I was happy as a lark in a sycamore tree. That's as country as it comes right there as far as the saying, but... Pressing on. Okay. There's three main central needs that every person has that when you serve, God meets those needs, and it begins to resolve you in the deepest sense. I want to give you those. You ready for them? Number one, write it down. Everyone has a need for significance. Everyone has a need. Everybody. My son Aurelio, he's so funny. We're totally taken back right now with rescue heroes. So we love policemen and firemen and paramedics and first responders. And every night we have to pray for each one of them by name, you know. And we love the Air Force. In fact, we went from having a pirate birthday plan for this October to now he's calling it the Air Force Marines. And I'm not sure if you can blend those, but he's doing that. And so Aurelio wakes up in the morning and puts a military uniform on. I feel like I have to stand up straighter when I'm around him. Like, hi, son, you know? It's a kid that has that draw to significance. It's why when I was 10 years old, I had my dad cut out a felt in S to be able to put on all of my clothes so everyone knew that I was Superman, you know? Like it's the little girl, and Kai is so, we're, I don't know, 24 hours beats me, 12 days from having a baby any minute now. Glory to God and horrifying at the same time. And, oh, yeah, please, I need that. Please. Okay, so she's excited because she's had three boys, and this is the first girl. So all of a sudden, all the American Girls dolls are coming out, and all of her little babies, and Kaya, would she just hold those little babies when she was a kid? Why? Significance. I'm going to invest in my kids. And I'm not diminishing you to go out there and you have a career. Praise the Lord. That's significance. You want to do something great. Well, in the same way, don't diminish somebody that stays home, and they want to raise their kids in a godly way, right? Yeah, yeah. Great job. There's this thing that's in us, a call in every one of us, that we want to make a difference in our world. We want to know that when we reach the end of our life, that we did something. We made a difference in someone's life, that my life mattered. And as humans, what do so often? We screw it up. We meddle in it. We try to make it something it was never meant to be. And here's what I mean. We'll get completely captivated with money. And we'll think that money is going to solve it. Money's going to solve all my problems. I'm more money. If I had more money, I'm going to be more happy. If I have had boatloads of money, if I had all that, that's going to make me significant in this world. And I will tell you, it does not. For many people, they just get more paranoid about losing the money that they have. I've seen people, and they say, well, I want to be successful. If I become successful in my career, I'm a success, and people respect me, and I command the respect of my peers. I'm successful. That's significance. Oftentimes, those two things are happening at the same time. Oftentimes, I see them completely divorced. Some people are completely successful in business, and their lives are falling apart. See, I have an insight to people's lives that you might not have, where I pray for people directly, and they might be big time successful, a lot of money, and they'll confide, I'm depressed, I'm completely alone, I'm discouraged, I'm not fulfilled. And then I'll talk to somebody, and they work just a normal job, maybe live in a modest house, but they have dignity in what they're doing. They love it and love the people that they're doing with, and they're living significance. So it's not necessarily worldly success that's going to be the dictator of what's going to happen. How about this? People want to be significant, so they say, I'm going to become famous. We know somebody in our life, and he's traveled the world in a band and made I mean, really a lot of money, sold a lot of records. And if I called his name, your kids would know who he is. And I got to tell you, in many ways, he's down and depressed and uses chemicals to make him feel better. And it's like, being famous is not going to be the linchpin. So it's not money, and it's not success, and it's not fame. If it were, Mick Jagger would not have sang, I get no, na-na-na-na-na-na-na, satisfaction, right? He would have been singing, I got some satisfaction, but he didn't. That's funnier than your lit non, I'm just telling you. If those three things really did it, he would have been satisfied, but he wasn't. And so many people, they make the significance thing into what the world calls significant. And I got to tell you, God really does not esteem those things very highly at all. Write this down. Satisfaction is the byproduct of living a significant life. Like when you're living for significance and you're making a difference and you're loving on people and investing in people and raising your kids in a godly way and you guys are getting to church on Sunday and loving on your brother and tipping big at Panera when you go home. Like, when you're living that life, it's significant. And that happiness, that satisfaction, will be a byproduct of doing it God's way. Which I will tell you, Panera is not God's way, but there's other restaurants out there that could be God's way. They're just mean there for no reason. Significance is never what you do. Prove me wrong. I had to get one of those little signs. Panera's mean. Prove me wrong. Significance. That's funny. I don't care who you are. Write this down. Significance is never what you do for yourself. Significance is always what you're doing for somebody else. Investing in them, believing the best in them, giving them a leg up on their life. I heard a story, and it's a true story, about this guy. His name was Alan. Alan was really kind of down in the dumps in his own right and reevaluating his life, and so he went for a walk. As he was going on this walk, he saw some smoke going over in this neighborhood, and he turned the block where the smoke was coming from, and there was a car that had flipped over. He could see that there was like the makings of fire, that he, probably even fire that was happening, he couldn't see. And so Alan goes over there, and he sees that the driver, it looks like Dad, is passed out. The other people in the car are his kids and wife. They can't get out because his is the only window open. They're struggling. Alan, like, just goes into survival mode, starts breaking the window, breaks the window. Dad comes to. Dad starts getting out of the car. They take the car and they tip the car back over enough that they can get the doors open, get the kids out. And as they're doing that, they start to beeline it away because the fire is now visible. And the car blows up. They get pushed over. And Alan's like, oh my gosh, I saved these people's lives. They're blown away. Community celebrating who he is and everything. It's a true story. And I'd like to think that if I saw something like that, I would do what Alan did in that story. Wouldn't you want to think of yourself like, in fact, I would even venture to guess that a lot of us in the room today, you'd want to be that person where if there was somebody in need and it was a desperate situation, the car's flipped over, it's on fire, that you'd rush and do everything that you possibly could do, right? A lot of us are on the sights and scenes of people, and their life is upside down. It is on fire with drama and issues and anxiety and worry, and we pass by them because we don't want to offend them. You know, the thought that our message is offensive is something that is really new. When I talk to sinners, I'm talking about people that don't know God. When I talk to them about God, his goodness, about Jesus, they're very open to that God. They actually are very interested in how it all plays together. It's typically the religious people in Western Michigan that want to shout me down and correct me on every word that I'm saying. Well, we're trying to reach somebody, but a sinner is open to it. They're not offended by it. And listen, the gospel is offensive enough if you actually get to the core of it, so we don't need to add peripheral things to it. But I'll tell you, when we're talking to somebody and their life's upside down and they're living it, do y'all remember what that was like before Jesus? just felt upside down. You know you're not living right. And I'll tell you, that's why when people come in, we don't tell them everything that's going wrong in their life. You're doing this and this and this, and your skirt's too short. We don't mess with that kind of stuff. You know why? They're acutely aware that they don't belong. We want them to feel like you are home. This is where God wants to meet you, and he does his thing. He does heart work on people. He changes a heart, and he's the only one who can. And so, gang, I want to encourage you. I feel like you would turn the literal car over. Can you do that in your everyday life? Can you see people who look very put together and not judge them, but at the same time, see what's going on in their life? See how you can pray for them. See how you can talk to them. Because, gang, I'm here to tell you that people are going through real things. Jesus actually sent his disciples into an upside-down world. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, the Bible says this, that the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead. Pause for a second. I just want to fill this in. I don't think everybody knows this. A lot of people know that Jesus had 12 disciples, yeah? Did you know that he had 72? Did you know that outside of the 72, he had 150? Jesus was a highly organized traveling minister. And you think, well, he just had the 12. Well, within the 12, there was actually three, Peter, James, and John. And of those three, there was one that he was closest to, and that was John. In fact, if you ever read the Gospel of John, John is so funny. He wrote it, and as he's writing it, he doesn't refer to himself in the third person. He refers to himself as the apostle that Jesus loved. We were besties, you know. Jesus' best friend was doing that. I mean, it's like, it's so funny how he was. So there was different spheres of influence. And so there was the 12, there was the 72, there was the 150. It continues on. It says that he sent the 72 ahead in pairs to the towns and places that he planned to visit. So in other words, Jesus and the Traveling Salvation Show, Neil Diamond, gets everybody together, and he sends together the marketing people, and he's sending people like, hey, have you heard Jesus? It makes me think about Earl Roberts. You know, he'd come out. It was like that with Jesus. He sent people ahead in the 72, and the 72 were PR. They're all letting people know that Jesus is coming. How did he have 5,000 and 10,000 people following him from town to town? The synagogues were not that big. The temple was never that big. Even the temple courts could not contain the people that were following Jesus. He was incredibly organized in the way that he did things, incredibly well thought out in the way that he executed things. He didn't get crucified for not making waves in the religious system. Does that make sense? But what I want you to see is this. He sends them out first, right? Before Jesus comes, the servants come. Write that down. Hear that. Before Jesus comes, the servants come. Before you came today, the worship band, they were here at 7 a.m., sucking down a coffee as quick as they possibly could. Before you came today, the ushers were getting everything ready with these seats, taking that electrostatic fogger to clean all the cooties off from it. Before you came today, people were getting those rooms ready for your kids back there and learning curriculum during the week and getting the rooms right and so they smell good and they look good and getting all the videos set up and the lights. And before you ever came today, before Jesus came and impacted you today, the servants came to prepare the way. Do you see it? Do you see how God works? He's organized. There's a way that he does things. It continues on in verse 2. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. That's what we're doing today, God. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Verse 17, he says, when the 72 disciples return, say it, they joyfully reported to him. There it is. I will tell you that there is nothing in this world like serving somebody that can't pay you back. There's a little woman that goes to this church. Oh, I love her to pieces. Her daughter is an alcoholic, and she took in her grandson because her daughter couldn't take care of him. And she's had problems over the years, and we've accommodated everything. We've actually given her car over the time, and I remember she got that car, and she was so happy, and I hugged her, and she looked up. She's just bawling her eyes out, and I looked at her, and I said, you are somebody here. Money can't buy that significance. And not just for me, for us. That's your church. That's who we are. When you invest in a little kid that can't pay you back, what are they going to do? Pay for what you did back there? You taught the lesson, you do whatever. That was very good. Here's $20. That's about a movie ticket. There you go. Or it's 2020. $50, you know, like the kids can't pay you. those little squirts back there getting their diaper changed, you know? I mean, that's ministry, everybody. You know, when we were doing our building campaign, it was at great expense, big line item in our budget, that we piped all of that stink up into a vent system, and we ran those pipes all the way to Cincinnati, Ohio. It was very expensive, but they don't notice the smell at all. And besides, come on, Michigan, that's where all that smell belongs, everybody. And so, go to a different church. I don't know. Like, I'm messing. Guys, I'm here to tell you that when you change that little baby's diaper, he can't pay you back. But you're the first preacher of the gospel to that little baby. You go back there and you wear the little apron. Some of you guys feel like dorks. But you look awesome to me. No man stands so tall than when he stoops to help a child. You go down there and you serve that little kid that can't pay you back. I'm telling you, all of heaven sees. The Bible says that when you give a cup of water in Jesus' name, he doesn't ignore it. God sees everything that we do for the next generation. God sees everything that we do for the widows and the orphans and those people that are far from God and the single mamas and all the people that are struggling that come through these doors that are downtrodden because they weren't allowed to leave their house. They need to come into a place full of hope and expectancy. And guys, when we create that place, God can move. Give God praise for that. Come on, somebody. They joyfully reported to him. I got to press on number two, write this down. Number two, everyone has a need for certainty. You want it, but I'll tell you, the world doesn't really accommodate all that often, do they? The world's gone buck wild. I mean, it's really, it's kind of like we all laugh and then we realize, oh gosh, but it really has. You know, like it's nuts. It's crazy. It's crazy. They're consuming themselves. It's crazy. Shame the devil and tell the truth. This is nuts. I when I went to school, I wasn't afraid of getting shot up in school. You think about that when you send your kids? I think a lot of people do. There's terrorism and then wild hurricanes in the middle of all of it. And it's just, the world has lost its mind, and it's crazy, and we want certainty in our life, and in this crazy day of stocks up, stocks down, and wild elections, and we're going to just pass buckets, not for money, but for you to put your hair in with the election, because it's like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what's happening, you know, and there's the threat of war, and COVID's hit, and blah, 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 all of this type of stuff, it creates uncertainty, and if you want more certainty, I believe that security is found in God, and I really think, and I've seen it more this year ever than ever before. The contrast is massive. That's the only place you're going to get it. When you bury your life in God's presence, when you sink your life into what he has for you, that's where you're going to have certainty in this life. You know, the stock market might go up and down, but there's no variations in what God is doing. And if we would learn to withdraw from the world's way of doing things, not the world, like don't be a hermit. We need to be salt and light to the world, but withdraw from the world's ways of doing things, you'll find more certainty in your life than ever before. Jesus gave security in a world that's uncertain. This is what it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew 6:19. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. I'm not saying don't have a bank account. I'm not saying don't have a 401k or a Roth IRA or a 401(3b). I'm not saying don't invest. All of those things are positive things. I am saying don't have your faith in that. Because if 2008 has taught us anything, you can lose 50, 60% of your portfolio in a day, in an afternoon. And so, guys, there's a investment that you can make in the world, and a lot of that's positive, but the best investment, the eternal investment, is an investment made in heaven. And by the way, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking today about your time. I'm talking about your focus. Because when you invest your time in serving other people, it makes a difference. When you open a door for somebody and greet them, when you change the baby's diaper, when you usher or when you greet people who are coming into the kids area and helping them check in or when you lead a small group, all those different things, that makes an eternal investment in somebody, and that makes a difference. That is what is never going to fail you. Number three, write it down. Everyone desires growth. Everybody desires growth. Everybody wants to grow. Everybody wants to develop, become more. Have you ever noticed that we as people, and especially as Americans, we are always on to the next thing? I remember when I was in preschool, I couldn't wait to get into kindergarten because that was real. And as soon as I was in elementary school, I couldn't wait to get into upper elementary. And when I was there, I looked at those middle schoolers. And remember when like a middle schooler looked like a massive man to you, you know, when you're like in third grade? It's like, that's where we're going. I'm going to be a giant, you know? And I was on to the next thing. And then I was on to high school. And when I was in high school, I couldn't wait to get out. I wanted to be in college. And now that I'm in my 30s, I'm kind of looking back at high school. And I'm like, that wasn't that bad after all. But for the most part, we're always on to the next thing. We're always interested in that next step. We want to develop. And my belief is this. In Christianity, a lot of people, they want the next thing, but they don't take the steps to get there. Put it this way. Everybody grows old, but not everybody grows up. Maybe you know a cheerleader like that, right? Like, just to pick on them for a second, right? Like, some people grow older, but they don't grow up. And I think spiritually, if you were to kind of look at how people look, they got saved 10, 15 years ago, what do they look like? And I found some really funny pictures that I want to share with you. Guys, throw up that first slide. I think that some of them look like old men. There's people that grow old, but they never... Is that Danny DeVito? I don't know. What's happening over there? Go and throw up that next one, guys. Right? Right? I've been saved 20 years, and you look like an old man. Now, this next one, this is crazy. This is devastating. Go ahead and throw up that last one. Oh, my gosh! Look at that little bean. Oh, you just want to kiss him, don't you? That was actually Sawyer Crow when he was born. I'm just playing. Sawyer was beautiful when he was a kid. Are you guys honestly getting quiet on me? That's hilarious. You know you'd like that on Facebook. You'll be happy to know that he grew up and he's actually a Gap model today. Did you know that? I just made that up right now to score some points with you. But moving on, some people grow old, but they don't grow up. Some people spiritually, they accepted Christ a long time ago, but they stayed in that baby spot. We're going to have a baby here in 12, 13 days, and when you hold that little baby, you think bringing that baby like a ribeye steak is going to help anything? No, baby needs a little bit of milk. But over time, the diet needs to change. What's going to develop that baby in one season isn't going to develop that baby in another. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to be people that are willing to be committed to the process of becoming all that God has called us to be. This is what Romans chapter 12 says, Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are all one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then, remember this, gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Three things in that scripture passage. It says the word function in there. Everybody say the word function. Function. Then it says gifts differing, and then it says use them. The Apostle Paul is writing the book of Romans, and he's trying to talk to the church there, and he's saying, listen, guys, Jesus is the head of the church. Okay, the head's doing great. The head's healthy. But if you think of like a natural body, each one of you in that church are a different organ, or maybe you're a skeleton system, or maybe you're an arm, or maybe you're the eyes or the mouth. Like you're a different part of that body, and each one of those different like parts have a different function. He says, when you use those things, when you function in that thing, that's what makes the body alive. But he said that's kind of like the body of Christ. Now, I want you to think about this. A lot of us are operating in our church life with an arm lopped off. That's not God's best. It makes life very difficult. People that have that type of thing happen to them, or maybe they're born that way, they got to get prosthetics. Or things. It makes things very difficult. Do you understand what I'm saying? And conversely, could you imagine if your digestive tract or your heart, like it just decided to like peace out and go do its own thing, like live on its own? We know that when one organ fails, it really can cause a lot of other things to go wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, gang, when I see us shown as the body of Christ, I just have this question. What if your heart volunteered with the same fervor and strength that you volunteer at church? That's harsh, Pastor Joe. I'm just reading the Bible. And I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just trying to say that you have gifts and talents within you, that if we could mine those gifts and talents out and leverage those for good in the life of our church, guys, we would make a difference in Western Michigan like you can't even imagine. We're so hard on ourselves, and I get it. We've got things that we're working on and trying to resolve and trying to fix in our character. But while you're doing that, Teachers will tell you the best perfect person of the world, you're saying to teach, right? You're serving other people. You're not saying that you're model perfect person of the world. You're saying that I love you and I want to invest in you. Does that make sense? How would your body work if your digestive tract volunteered with the same fervor that you do at church? Now think about that, right? And by the way, the word volunteer is found nowhere in the Bible, but the word function is. Every single one of us that call ourselves a born-again follower of God, you have a function in this body, and we need you. We're getting along. We're doing church. We're making a difference. We're impacting people's lives. We're doing it with a limp. We're doing it without the full force of what it would be like if we had the giftedness of this full body, healthy, making an impact on people's lives. Does that make sense? We can make an impact. And remember, I'm preaching this message to make you happy. Blessed will you be when you do these things, right? So I want you to think about this. The significance, the certainty, and the growth that you're looking for, it's a function of you being happy. It's a function of you serving in this world. And that begs the question, Pastor Joe, how do I use my gifts and talents to impact other people? I'm so glad you asked. Y'all set me up so well in these messages. Newbies and new kids, that's our kids program, needs 12 people to sign up. Guest services needs 8 more people. Production, that's the people that are doing the different lights and sound and camera, and they're doing stagecraft. We need 8 people. 7 people there. Ushers, we need 8 people. New Chapel Connect, I need 2 people to help me host New Chapel Connect. A prayer, we need 4 people to be solid prayer partners. The worship team, if you play the guitar and you're attending New Chapel, that's your next step, okay? If you're looking for a word from God, he just told me, okay? Sign up, okay? If you think you can sing, wonderful, try out. We will determine whether that's true or not, but like, we want you to use your gifts and talents to serve God here at church, and there's the need. Here's the truth. We can nip that in the bud in one weekend, couldn't we? But I need you to believe in yourself. I need you to say yes to the call of God on your life. What does it look like, Pastor Joe? I'm not going to throw you back with those kids and be like, hey, thank you for signing up. You're running the preschool classroom from now on, you know, and just leave and you're back there with like 20 little kids. It's not going to happen. You'll have a shadow session. You'll learn with those people. We'll find your sweet spot. Some of y'all just want to be leaders back there. Some of you want to teach back there. We'll find that spot for you if it's kids. If you want to usher, we'll train you. All these different areas. We're not going to throw you in there. You'll be shadowing with people that are doing it. You're going to be able to learn from other people. And this is something that's going to be able to be something that we can fix all those different positions in one weekend, but we're going to train you over a couple and be able to schedule you. One of the vision points here at New Chapel is that you'd be able to worship one and serve one. I got to tell you, we have one drummer right now. If you're a drummer, that is your calling right now. And I'm sure he'd like a day off to be able to just sit in church with his family. But guys, it's all of us coming together and functioning that's going to be able to make that influence in our church. So you can sit one and serve one. If you're not sure where to start, newchapel.com, that little connect with us at the very top, that's where you go. So let's do that. Everybody pull out your smartphone. I know that you had it. Set you up like crazy, man. Set you up. I know that you have your phones. Pull it out. Go to newchapel.com. Go do it. I can see you, Manny. Pull out your phone right now. Pull out your phone, newchapel.com, and just hit that connect with us tab. That form lets us know that you're interested. You let us know where. Maybe it's a couple different areas and you just really don't know. We'll call you. We'll ask you what's going on. And this isn't Hotel California where you can check out but you can't leave. Like, I'm not going to put you back in kids and then we're going to just forget you back there forever. If you're not meant to be back in kids, we'll find the place that you're supposed to be. Maybe you're supposed to be ushering or greeting or investing in a different way. Like, we want to find your sweet spot, make it so you can actually make that investment in someone's life. One cool thing that we're going to be able to offer in the next several weeks, and this is pretty awesome, is we actually have a t-shirt that we're going to be able to give you. Go ahead and throw that up, guys. This t-shirt, Welcome Home, is going to be free for all of our Go Team people. So whether you're currently serving or whether you're signing up, that's going to be free. And we actually order just thousands of dollars worth of merchandise, some hoodies and sweatshirts and ball caps for the first time. A lot of fun merchandise is coming as we get ready for the fall season. But free for all of you that sign up for the Go Team, you're going to get one of those t-shirts. It's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be a way that you can actually show a little bit of pride in the team that you're serving on. We'll give you that and a lanyard. We'll train you. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to learn something about your faith you never would reading just a Bible study. You know, Kaya, she grew up in a pastor's home. In your defense, she was serving from the time she was born. She was serving in preschool when she was a preschooler. By the time that I rededicated my life to Christ, I was 17 years old, and Kai was working the check-in table at the church that we were at, and I remember going up to the check-in table. I'm 17. I had no children, but that check-in girl was just so cute. And I remember going up there and kind of courting Kaya, being like, hey, you know, like, checking in on the iPad, you know, like, come on, you know. Kai and I hit it off because we were both serving God. I started serving on camera. I was a camera operator, which we don't have right now and we need. I would do camera for my pastor, and then they thought I did such a good job, I guess, that they put me on slides, and I ran all the slides for the lyrics during the songs and then the sermon slides for our pastor, and eventually I became an intern at the church. Fast forward 15 years, I'm pastoring at my own church. I'm in the center of God's will for my life, and I got to tell you, I don't even know how I got here. You ever wake up out of a dead sleep and you're like, where am I at? Sometimes I look at what's happening. I'm like, how did God does this thing? And you're like, well, Pastor Joe, I don't want to become a pastor, so I don't want to do that. I'm not saying become a pastor. What I'm trying to say is this: I'm in the center of God's will for my life. You start serving, and the blessing of God falls on your life, the life of your children. And what happens is you'll just wake up one day, you find yourself in the center of God's will. I'm not saying you're not going to have to make big decisions along the way and choose to say yes to Jesus every single day. But you're just going to be like, man, God, look what you did. And you'll look back, and it's a result of you being dedicated and planted. The Bible says in Psalm 92 in verse 13, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. When you plant yourself in this house and invest in this place with your time and your talent and your treasure, when you make an investment in the next generation, when you invest in people that can't pay you back, God Almighty sees it. And he'll pour out a blessing on your life. There won't be room enough to receive any of it. How's it found? Servant's heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for the work that you're doing in the life of this church. God, I know that you're speaking to people right now. There's a decision moment in people's lives right now. For so many people, God, they know that the next step is to join a team. For some people in the room, God, they need to make the decision to cement the relationship with you. The only way to do that's through Jesus. Help me to find those people in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You came into my auditorium today. You say, Pastor Joe, it resonates with me, but I'm not right with God. Friend, I'll tell you, I've been there. And the only way to make peace with God, it was brokered already through Jesus. When you make Jesus Lord over your life, Lord means boss, what happens is you avoid a Christless hell. You gain an eternity in heaven. But eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts the moment you accept Christ. That peace and joy and resolve and blessing that you're looking for is on the other end of amen. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you in this room or those of you that are Christians as a declaration of your faith, would you bow your heads and say this prayer with me? Pray, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place. From my sins, so I can be forgiven. You raised him from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I surrender now. Jesus, I call on you. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Put your spirit within me. I receive all that you have for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up for those people that accepted Christ. Proud of you. If you did accept Christ, whether you're in the auditorium today with us or you're watching online, I'm proud of you. And the best thing that I can do for you as a pastor is give you next steps. You're going to wake up Monday morning and be like, what did I do? What did I decide? Here's what it's going to look like. Go to newchapel.com, that little connect with us tab. Let us know that you accepted Christ today. I'm going to send you a note, an email, talking about next steps. You need to get plugged into a church. Doesn't have to be this one, but you need to get plugged into one. I am partial to this one, but You need to find a church family. You need to get water baptized. There's some next steps that you need to know to be successful in your walk with God. Make sure that you do it. Church, can we give it up for them one more time? Proud of these guys. Stand up on your feet, church. Louder than that. Let's give it up for them. Death to life. Now listen, I want to give you a couple announcements about today before we jump into the rest of what God has for us in the weekend. The first thing is we are having New Chapel Connect after this service today. I'm going to be teaching that. People ask, like, Pastor, how do I get involved? Well, you could just send us that connection card, and we'll put you on the schedule. But one of the best ways to learn who we are and where we're going as a church is New Chapel Connect. It's two parts, this weekend and next. We have free lunch for you. We have Coke and Dasani water. If you don't like Coke, I don't know why, but we have water. And I'm teaching that personally. It's a way to talk to you about the vision, like where we're going and how we're going to make an impact and how you might be able to fit in with all of that. So New Chapel Connect is after this service today. And then finally, at the last Sunday of this month, we're having something called Beach and Baptisms. We don't know which beach it's going to be at. Muskegon, Grand Haven, we're trying to figure that out. Different counties have different regulations, and we're trying to find the one that's as lenient and has the ones that are easiest to look over as possible. And so we're going to have a picnic, potluck-style picnic at the beach, and then we're going to do baptisms in Lake Michigan, which is an all-time high temperature of 45 degrees. And so if you've never been baptized, it's time to get baptized. Into this month, we're going to have that, and that's going to be after our church services. We're going to go over there in the afternoon. More information to come, but I'm telling you so that if you haven't been baptized, you sign up. You can do that at guest services or, again, newchapel.com with that little connect with us tab. Amen, somebody? I love you guys. God has an awesome plan for you. This is a place of hope. This is your home. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may the Lord give you his peace that passes all understanding. And as you go, have an awesome weekend.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.